This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
We have the Epstein documents. Is there something there? We'll talk about that. Joe Biden, where's he been? No one's seen Joe. Keira Davis joins us to talk culture war stuff. It's trivia night. All that and more is coming up on I'm Right. All right, before we get to the Epstein stuff, let's do this right off the bat. We are aware about the shooting in Iowa today in school. As you know, we don't do mass shooting TV. On my radio show, I don't do mass shooting stuff. We don't jump on dead bodies to politic or do any of that other stuff. All we do whenever there is one of these is ask for prayer. Prayer for those families, prayer for the people going through what can only be described as hell right now. Parents, siblings, teachers, the students. Just bow your head and say a prayer for them tonight. All right? All right. Now, Epstein documents. We were teased about these documents forever. The Epstein documents are coming. Oh, we got the Epstein documents are coming. Hey, they're coming tomorrow. Oh, wait, nope, the next day. Maybe by tonight. All right, they finally drop. Nothing surprising in there to anybody who watches this show. I'm not going to insult your intelligence by saying, oh my gosh, Bill Clinton's on there. I mean, you've known that. You get all that stuff there. The real story is one that you and I have talked about before. In my opinion, well, I shouldn't say the real story. The overarching story is probably a better way to put it. I love history. You probably have some love of history, but I love history. And it's one of the things that just floors me. The entire history of the world, it doesn't matter what era, doesn't matter what location, the history of the world is wealthy, powerful men finding groups of unfortunate people, men and women, to abuse for their own devices. And it's not that the Epstein story isn't a big deal, it is a very big deal, but I want everyone to understand it has always happened, and it's still happening right now. Just because Jeffrey Epstein killed himself in jail, just because that happened doesn't mean this has stopped. This is something regular people should always seek out and seek justice for, because very, very often, all too often, most of the time, these men get away with the things they do to people who are powerless. And that is really sad. It's a disgrace. You know what else is sad and a disgrace? All the people acting shocked by this today when everyone has known about this and the names on the list for years. Here's a little behind the scenes footage courtesy of Project Veritas. This was Amy Robach years ago.
I've had the story for 3 years. I've had this interview with Virginia Roberts. We would not put it on the air. First of all, I was told, who's Jeffrey Epstein? No one knows who that is. This is a stupid story. She had pictures. She had everything. She was in hiding for 12 years. We convinced her to come out. We convinced her to talk to us. It was unbelievable what we had. Clinton. We had everything. I tried for 3 years to get it on to no avail, and now it's all coming out, and it's like these new revelations, and I freaking had all of it. I'm so pissed right now. Like, every day I get more and more pissed because I'm just like, oh my God, what we had was unreal.
It still blows me away that the thing she was most angry about was that the story got buried. That's not for the victims, of course, but for her. Joining me now, the reason you're seeing so much of this today, and I want to make sure he gets all the credit in the world, my buddy Mike Cernovich. Obviously, he created Hoaxed. If you haven't watched that yet, then you don't really understand what you're dealing with here. Okay, Mike, 2017, you filed a motion. I don't even know how to file a motion. Why did you file a motion? What was the motion about? What did you do?
Yeah, good question. It is a complicated legal procedure, but the idea was this. Ghislaine Maxwell was accused by Virginia Roberts of being part of the Epstein network, and Ghislaine Maxwell said, no, I didn't do that. She's a liar. So that assertion gave Roberts the ability to sue Ghislaine Maxwell for defamation. So this is in civil court. Two kinds of courts, criminal court, civil court. Everybody, every lawyer tell the same thing. You don't want to be in either of them. Do what you can to avoid either of them. Oh. But the criminal case against Epstein was completely different. This was an indirect attack. So even though Epstein wasn't in the lawsuit, it was a defamation lawsuit by Roberts versus Maxwell. This was a way to uncover relevant information concerning Epstein. So because all of the motions had been filed in public court with redactions, the original docket, maybe I'll find it and upload it, was every motion, as you know, in public court has to be open to the public because it's public court. If you want a private court, you do arbitration. So a lot of people, for example, when you sign a job offer and you sign that employee handbook, a lot of times it'll say you admit that we're going to do confidential arbitration, right? So you can do private arbitration. But if you sue in a public court, you can't file everything under seal. Everything can't be redacted. So we said this is wrong. So we intervened. It's called a motion to intervene. And we said that everybody had a right to see all these documents that were filed in public court. And that's how we got into the Epstein related case. But it wasn't US versus Epstein. It wasn't the victims versus Epstein. It was one woman versus Maxwell on defamation. But we knew that there was going to be all this other information in there. So that was the enchilada that we were after.
Mike, you have a piece up on your Substack. By the way, Mike has an excellent Substack, Mike Cernovich, saying that this release, which I was shocked there was any kind of a release, Mike. I didn't think we'd ever see that. But this release, it's a continuation of the cover-up. What are you talking about?
Okay. So flashback to we're in the case. There's no media interest because in 2017, like the ABC woman, I think it was, she was only mad because she had the story. She wasn't mad because of any issue, right? She's mad because she's like, man, I could have covered myself in glory on this. Doesn't care, right? So 2017... nobody in the media cares because there's no Donald J. Trump interview or Donald J. Trump angle. And as we know, that's the only thing that you could talk about in 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020. What's the Trump hook, right? The joke that we would make was, if I got a DUI and I don't drink, let alone drink and drive, that would be national news, even though it's like stupid because I was pretty relevant in the Trump era. So they would have said pro-Trumper gets DUI, even though that's not newsworthy at all. It would be just a stupid thing, right? But that was the media's mindset. Is there a Trump angle here? Random guy on social media, Trump, can we package that in the headline? Boom. A worldwide sex trafficking operation that involves intelligence agencies in America and maybe other foreign countries that led to the suffering of dozens, maybe hundreds of women, and that could implicate some of the most richest and powerful men in politics and media and investment. No. Where's the Trump angle, right? Where's the hook? That's what they all say in media, right? Where's the hook? We need that hook, and we need the Trump hook, so there was no hook. Well, lo and behold, in 2019, Alexander Acosta, or maybe 18, but Alexander Acosta becomes Trump's labor secretary. Alexandra Acosta was the federal prosecutor in Florida who oversaw the Epstein criminal plea deal. So now your hook is, hey, Jesse, you're my assignment editor at the Daily Beast, the Washington Post, New York Times. I come to you and I say, Jesse, I got the story of a lifetime. And you say, what? I go, billionaires, presidents, former presidents, financiers, intelligence community, they were all smuggling women around the world and having sex parties. And you go, Mike, what's the Trump angle? And I go, what do you mean? And you say, well, is Trump in it? And I go, no, there's no Trump angle. What are you talking about? Well, we don't care. So then I come back to you after Acosta is labor secretary under Trump, and you go, Mike, we have the same meeting. You go, Mike, what's the Trump angle? And I go, ha, I knew you were going to ask. Well, Alexandra Acosta is in the Trump administration as the labor secretary. He's the prosecutor who oversaw the Epstein plea deal. Now you're like, oh yeah, the off to the races now. So you can see now why everybody chased that story down in 2019, because then they could say Trump labor secretary Alexandra Acosta tied to Epstein. Trump, right? Because if the headline doesn't have Trump, it didn't happen, it doesn't matter, nobody cares, right? Trump. So now we have a chase, and there's a real chase. So the lawsuit that I filed was not a lawsuit. That's it's a motion to intervene. So when I call it a lawsuit, I'm trying to use language that people understand. It was a motion to intervene and a motion to unseal. So now the people who didn't care go, we got our Trump angle, we're all chasing it down. So then it goes into the Second Circuit Court of Appeals, because we had lost at the trial court level, the Miami Herald that entered the case by that time. And then the Second Circuit Court of Appeals says, I believe it's on a Friday, that, oh yeah, clearly this stuff should be public record. Well, that Sunday, the same weekend, Jeffrey Epstein is arrested by federal prosecutors in charge. So the timeline matters, because not because I'm the ABC reporter, oh, give me attention, cover me in glory. No. The point is, nobody cared when I filed. Nobody cared until there was a Trump angle. Once there was a Trump angle, the media cared. And then once it became clear that these documents were going to be made public, federal prosecutors then indicted Epstein. But there's no perp walk of that, right? If you're, look at how the cases of Trump are being treated. But Jeffrey Epstein doesn't get a perp walk. He lands in his private jet. I believe he was coming back from France or Paris. He had a mansion over there. No perp walk. They take him in discreetly because they want to, protect his privacy and everything like that. And they charged him only because they knew that the documents that we had sought for years were finally going to be made public. So they had to do something. And then that's why they criminally prosecuted Epstein.
Mike, I mean, we could spend forever on this. I just want to ask one more follow-up. You mentioned intelligence agencies were involved. For those who are not hyper-informed the way you are, they probably sat back in their chair and said, I'm sorry, what? What are you talking about?
Sure, there's dots that people are trying to connect, but what we know for a fact, because Alexandra Acosta said it, Alexandra Acosta said, I agreed to the deal because this went way over my head, right? This went to the intelligence communities. We do know for a fact, it's not disputed, that the FBI was aware of it because Epstein had given information to the FBI. I have that documented in my Substack. So the broader leap as well was, it the Saudis? Was it Mossad? Was it the Illuminati? Was it the Freemasons? Was it Uncle Bob at the Elks Club, right? That's when you get into speculation, or just people being weird and not really understanding how the intelligence community works, because they're all together, right? So a lot of people want to go, well, it was Mossad. Well, if it's Mossad, the CIA knows about it too, and the FBI knows about it too, right? So let's be knowledgeable about what the intelligence community is. So we know for a fact that the intelligence community was involved. And we know for a fact that there was a safe in the island that everybody talked about in earlier coverage. We don't know where the safe is, or, they know, but we don't know. So there's no question that the intelligence community was instrumental in protecting Epstein and in covering up his wrongdoing.
Ah, wonder why that is. I still think about that safe from time to time. Mike, Jeffrey Epstein, the man famous for collecting blackmail materials. We know there were photos, everything else in there, and it just... oof, up and vanished. Mike, I could spend all day with you. Go read his Substack. You want to get educated on this stuff. My brother, I appreciate you very much. Good work. Something to think about, isn't it? It's a lot. It's a lot to take in. You know what else is going to be a lot to take in? This speech Joe Biden's given in a couple days. January 6th speech. We'll give a little preview of that next. Before we do that, let's do this. Let's talk about the timeshare you think you're stuck in. You ever talk to somebody? Maybe you are that person. You get the timeshare. You know, you go in the seminar, and hopefully you had a blast in it. Sometimes people never really used it and then get out, but sometimes people have a blast in it. And then one day, you know, you think you can just be done with it. Hey, we're done. Thanks for the good times. Appreciate the memories. And they tell you, no, you should have read the fine print. You have to pay for life. Every year, pay your annual fees, pay your special assessments, pay up. If you're tired of that, call Lone Star Transfer. Lone Star Transfer has helped over 18,000 timeshare owners legally and permanently get out. You are one phone call away from getting out. 844-310-2646. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
You know what's wild? And there are so many stories, so many scandals. Every day there's a new outrage because they're screwing everything up on purpose, right? But there's all this stuff going on that we can sometimes miss things that are a really big deal. Joe Biden is president of the United States of America. Probably the most important job in the world. Is that fair? You could argue it shouldn't be, but that's probably the most important job in the world. Joe Biden doesn't show up for work. Joe Biden has spent 37% of 2023 on vacation. 37% of last year, the man with the most important job in the world was on vacation. He hasn't had a public event since December 22nd. These are the video clips we're being treated to. The president is not hard at work behind the Resolute desk. This is what we're getting.
I'm curious, what sort of holiday foods have you been enjoying over the last few days?
Well, I've been eating everything that's put in front of me. I've eaten pasta, which I love. Yeah. Eating a lot of chicken parmesan. I've been eating all Italian foods, basically.
And ice cream,
chocolate chip ice cream.
Aha, it's ice cream. It's so funny. Great. But, you know, maybe we should be thankful he never shows up to work. Because he's showing up to work tomorrow. Now, you do remember that little speech he gave back in 2022 in front of Independence Hall, right? In case you don't, here was a little clip of it.
Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic. No matter what the white supremacists and the extremists say, I made a bet on you, the American people, and that bet is paying off, proving that from darkness, the darkness of Charlottesville, of COVID, of gun violence, of insurrection, we can see the light.
Yeah, apparently that was just the pregame warm-up. Tomorrow, Joe Biden is going to emerge from his hole like a groundhog and give a speech that, from what we understand from the previews, it's going to be dark. It's going to be all about you and Trump, what a threat to democracy you are. So, I don't know. In hindsight, maybe you should go back into hiding. Anyway, we have more to talk about, like our military being purged of wonderful people. Before we talk about them, let's talk about this. Let's talk about the fact that financially, yeah, look, we're all experiencing it right now. Everybody who buys groceries and gas is experiencing it right now. Everything, really. Building materials, no matter what it is, the cost of everything is going up. You understand what's happening to the dollar. And you understand that they're not going to reverse it. They're not even telling you. Even the biggest liars in the world aren't pretending like they can reverse it. We're never going back. The only question is how bad it gets from here. So get some things in your physical possession to protect yourself with. Gold coins, silver coins. How do you do that? Oxford Gold will mail it to you. They'll get it delivered, insured, to your front door. You don't need a bank vault. It's not gold bars. You don't need to be a millionaire. This is for normal people. You don't have to go crazy. Get some kind of value these people cannot destroy. JesseKellyGold.com is where you do it, and I'm telling you, it's easy. It's cake. They'll get it in your retirement. They'll get it in your physical possession, but get it. JesseKellyGold.com, all right? We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Accountability is something we've been talking about a lot on this show for a very long time, for everybody, you know, me, you, government, but accountability for our military, for how the leaders of our military, if you even want to call them that, have failed, and that's being really, really nice, how they've failed our troops, how they've failed our veterans. And you know what I love? The Declaration of Military Accountability. What is it? Well, 200 vets and active duty personnel put out an open letter calling for accountability for what the military did with that COVID-19 therapeutic they forced people to get. And joining me now, one of the co-organizers of that is retired Lieutenant Colonel Brad Miller, U.S. Army. Okay, Colonel, why even get involved in this? What are you doing?
Yeah, hey, thanks for having me on. Just one tiny correction. I'm actually not a retired Lieutenant Colonel. I resigned. So I'm a former Lieutenant Colonel and then resigned from the Army. But yeah, thanks for having me on. So why would we do this? So, you know, you opened up by saying accountability. Accountability is for everybody. At the end of the day, we're a nation predicated upon the rule of law, which means it doesn't matter whether you are a four-star general or whatever. You still have to obey the law. Nobody gets a pass. Everybody's got to obey the law. But what happens when you don't obey the law? Well, you have to be held accountable. So when you look at this document that we created, and for those who want to find it, just go to militaryaccountability.com, find the document. You can see the 231 signatories who bravely put their names on it. And you can also find an associated petition that anybody can sign. We want everyone to sign it. As of right now, it's got about 11,000 signatures. But we want DOD to be held accountable for the laws that they broke and the military regulations that they did not follow. It's as simple as that. There's no trust between the American people and their own military right now. And if we're going to be a functioning republic that is able to survive into the future in this complex world we live in, we have to have a military that the American people can trust.
Colonel, let's start with your resignation. You said you resigned. Give us the details on the who, what, when, where, and why.
Yeah, so summer of 2021, I was a Lieutenant Colonel in the Army. I took command of a battalion that was part of the 101st Airborne Division. So this was June of 2021. In August of 2021, the mandate would come out. I was never going to take the shot, not even a question. I refused. I was relieved of command. I was one of only two battalion commanders in the active duty Army to be relieved of command for refusal to comply with the mandate. Very proud of that fact, by the way. A couple of months later, when it was clear that the Department of Defense was not going to walk this back, and I knew at that point that it was clearly unlawful, not to mention extremely harmful, I just said, you know what? I can't be part of this organization anymore. Not because I have any heartburn with the military as an institution or its stated mission, but it's because those who are running it from the Pentagon are not actually doing what American taxpayer dollars are paying them to do.
Brad, can you explain why there were only two of you? I know that's an uncomfortable conversation to have, but I, along with many Americans, those who served and those who did not, are getting extremely concerned with what we see, especially out of the brass in our military, not the men and women on the ground, but the brass. I'm very concerned, Brad. Why were there only two of you?
So you should be concerned. I mean, let's just say it like it is. And I wish I had an adequate answer for you. The fact that I do not have an adequate answer for you is kind of an answer in and of itself. I wish I could say more about my peers, those that are kind of at the lieutenant colonel, maybe colonel level, or if we're talking about the Navy, that would be kind of the commander captain level. There are a few. Now, I will tell you, there are some lieutenant colonels or former lieutenant colonels, or if we're talking about the Navy, you know, kind of that commander rank, that were part of the organization of this project, if you will, with the declaration, and certainly many other junior members. But I will tell you, kind of above that level, we got a lot of people that are too in love with their jobs.
Is that basically what it comes down to? These people are just in love with being flag officers. They got the staff, they got the driver, they got the best house on base, the manicured lawn, and they just don't ever want to give it up. Is that really what it comes down to?
That is a large part of it. No, if I'm wrong, somebody explain to me why I'm wrong. But, you know, these individuals, they have full careers. You know, they're going to, and many of them serve for 30 plus years. And afterwards, they're going to have a hefty pension, but then they're going to move on to some other job inside the military industrial complex. That's just the way that it is. So if I'm wrong on that, somebody give me another reason. But here's what we do know. These individuals, and we say this explicitly in the document, they are no longer fulfilling their oath to the Constitution. And so why are they in those positions? And I'll tell you another reason. If they don't know that they broke the law, because we've been telling them for 2 years, if they really don't know that they broke the law or they don't know what's going on, then I would say, well, there's a cognitive impairment then that also disqualifies them for their position. So whether there's a cognitive impairment and a lack of strategic thinking ability, or there is a courage deficiency, in either case, these individuals got to be held accountable.
Brad, explain what the COVID-19 mandate, what the vax mandate did to the military as a whole. Many people aren't on the inside. You were. What did it do?
Yeah, well, I think what it did was it caused, first of all, two things. So one, it was unlawful, and two, it was harmful. Let's talk about the second one first. So we all know now, even though DOD tries to obfuscate the numbers, but we've had multiple whistleblowers that have come out and said, it certainly appears, let's do an investigation to determine for sure, but it certainly appears that these shots were physically harmful to a large number of troops. On top of that, I would say that moral injury is rampant throughout the force because you have an erosion, maybe even better stated, an eradication of trust between Pentagon leaders and those who are serving at the level of the rank, you know, kind of the rank level, and then also their families. Yeah, that's moral injury. When you see an organization that has a very strong ethos, a very strong stated system of values that then acts in direct opposition to those values, well, that disjuncture that occurs in your mind that you feel when you see this, that's moral injury. But above and beyond that, people's careers were completely, you know, destroyed. And not just the 8,400 that they say that they kicked out, but other individuals that left of their own accord, like me. I'm not technically part of that 8,400, but you know, I lost my career to some degree over it. But you had others that retired early, and you have plenty of others who are not going to join the military right now because they're going to try to find some other way to actually serve their country. But the other one that I mentioned was unlawful. So here's the deal. The mandate was unlawful. You know, it was predicated upon the existence of an FDA-approved product. The supposed FDA-approved product was this ghost product called Comirnaty that didn't exist at the time the DOD mandated the shots. But that entire mandate was predicated upon the existence of an FDA-approved shot. So again, we got a complete bait and switch where you've got an unlicensed product that only existed under the emergency use authorization being misrepresented as a fully licensed product. I'm not a lawyer, but that sounds a lot like fraud to me. So in my mind, it at least appears, let's have an investigation, it at least appears like there was some collusion between FDA and DOD. So again, we're not calling for violence. We're not calling for, you know, circumvention of the law. What we're saying is there are legal and there are regulatory mechanisms that are already in place in the military. Let's just follow them.
Have you heard from the DOD? Speaking of them, I'm sure they're thrilled with you.
I'm sure they are. No, we've not heard anything. My assumption is their primary course of action is going to be to ignore. They know that once they respond, they are to some degree acknowledging our existence. And if they attack us to some degree, they're kind of legitimizing us. So what we are going to do is make ourselves unignorable, if you will, so that they have to respond. And here's the deal. I firmly believe, and I've said this for months, I do believe that there are senior leaders that do feel conflicted about what has happened and what they kind of have become a part of. And they should feel conflicted. Hey, we're all human beings. We all make mistakes. But if there are any individuals out there that are starting to come to terms with what has happened, then I would say, hey, listen, you know, it's not too late to at least speak up about what has happened. Don't continue to go down the road that you've gone down for the last 2.5 years, because it doesn't lead anywhere good. Look at what's happening with our military.
Brad, before I let you go, what's our military readiness right now compared to what it should be?
Extremely low. I mean, just look at the, and I'll give you a couple reasons why. So recruitment in the hole, retention in the hole. Military service for a long time has often been generational. You know, a service member enlists in the military because mom and or dad served, grandpa served, great-grandpa served. So what happens then now when you have a generational rift, when dad is retiring from the military and tells his teenager or young adult children who might otherwise have served, hey, listen, I really don't think that you should follow in dad's footsteps, because there are moms and dads having those conversations right now with their young adult children that if we didn't have this kind of you know, Department of Defense that we have now, they would be joining. They would want to join, but they're not doing it right now. Here's another reason is, again, I'll go back to that trust issue. You have American citizens, and the reception to our letter has been incredible. So, again, you can find that at militaryaccountability.com. Please go there, sign the petition, and share. But the reception has been incredible because even the average American who's not directly connected to the military, they know something is wrong in this country and something is wrong in the military. And I will tell you, that eradication of trust between the American people and the military, it is a strategic risk. I mean, it is.
That is. Colonel, I appreciate you very much. Rooting for you and yours. Go get them. What a mess. I'm glad someone's stepping up and speaking out. All right. Kira Davis is going to join us next, talk some culture war stuff with Kira. But I have great news first. You know the First TV has an app, right? It's an app. It's not just on your TV. It's on your phones, on your iPad, whatever. You know, there's a new and improved app. Go download the First TV app and enjoy all the wonders of it, all right? You might just see yours truly on there. Kira Davis, next.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
We got a firsthand look at the damage and the chaos the border catastrophe is causing in all of our communities. The situation here and across the country is truly unconscionable. We would describe it as both heartbreaking and infuriating. Our communities are overrun. We have local resources that are being strapped. We have lethal drugs that are pouring into our country at record levels. And it's in less than 3 years that President Biden took office that this has happened.
Okay. That was Speaker of the House Mike Johnson at the border, 60 Republicans, photo op time. Joining me now, author of the book Drawing Lines. I see her all over the place now. She's hosting radio shows. I always knew she was going to blow up. Kira Davis. All right, Kira. I mean, I'm glad there's a photo op. I'm glad Republicans are outraged, as they always are. What's going to be done about it? I don't see anything. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, what's being done about it is being done by individual legislators, right? Like Abbott or DeSantis. but the GOP doesn't really seem to have a strategy for the border. Absolutely not. I was just talking about this on the radio yesterday, because as we know, a lot of the citizens, particularly on the south side of Chicago, are very upset that they're having to accommodate all of these illegals in their neighborhoods. They're asking for money for their schools, their roads, their services that they're paying for. And the city's saying, we don't have money for that, but here's $15 million to turn your school into a migrant camp. And people are really upset, and they are taking to the press. And my thing is, you know what? The GOP should be standing right there, right next to them. They should be standing directly next to them during those press conferences. And when those people finish those remarks, there should be an official GOP representative right there to say, hey, guess what? Democrats did this to you. I do this with my kids all the time, Jesse. This is how I train my kids. Every time they complain about something, they can't have a certain thing or it costs too much here in California, I always say, hey, just remember, Democrats did that to you.
Wonderful. I love that you voted for this angle of that, Kira. Not that I'm holding out for the GOP to actually do that, because going into the urban black communities is not exactly something they do. Instead, they'll run Tim Scott for president once every 4 years and consider that black outreach. So please forgive me if I'm not holding out for them to actually go into Compton like Joe Collins tried to go into. You know what? I'm not even going to get started again. I'm setting all that stuff aside because I have a more philosophical question. You know how philosophical I am, Kira, but I was thinking about something, and it's really dark. So I need your ray of sunshine here. It's really dark. Okay, so Democrats take over. They intentionally open up the border to flood the country with illegals. Stop all this lame nursery rhyme conservatism. It's not accidental. It's not a fumble. They're doing it on purpose. But if we live in a country, Kira, where one of the two major parties can open up the border and flood the country with illegals, and there's not a stopgap in place for that, can we even save this place?
That is a really dark question, because, and I think maybe because I'm working on my second book, Jesse, as you mentioned, my first book is Drawing Lines. My second book is the story of how I became a conservative, going from a default liberal Democrat to a conservative. And the Second Amendment was a big part of that. And I think that we should not underestimate the value and the importance of the Second Amendment. And I understand what that means. Is what I'm saying is that there probably will be a violent response to our borders being completely open. The Second Amendment is the stopgap. So if that's the case, I think we're looking at citizens having to take up their own protection. And we're seeing that in small little ways already across the country in our major city centers, people sort of having to be responsible for themselves and their own safety. Our governments aren't here for us. So yeah, that is a dark question. And I think the answers are only dark.
Yeah, that's why I asked it. I can't come up with an answer that isn't horrific. And that's the last thing in the world I want. You know, I don't want that. I don't want to live in that country. I know you don't want to live in that country, but dang, it looks like, all right, you know what? We're setting that aside. Let's make fun of California. You're giving illegals health insurance now, Kira?
We give them everything else. This is almost one of those things where it's like, oh, we don't do that already. If you come to California illegally, an illegal immigrant, you can get a driver's license. You can get a library card. You can run for office here. You can serve on the police force. So I guess why wouldn't you get a free health insurance? I guess I'll just work harder, Jesse.
Hold on, pause. You can serve on a police force? What police force can you serve on as an illegal?
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. obviously the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
I think it's state law now. There were several cities that passed that individually. And I think in 22, we passed that. For the state.
Good golly. Okay, you know what? We're moving on. We're going to make fun of feminists. The new Disney movie's coming out, or the new Star Wars movie. I'm sorry, I know I have a bunch of Star Wars fans who are going to blast me for that. Not a Disney movie, a Star Wars movie. And surprise, surprise, they found some feminist hag to direct it, and here she was.
I like to make men uncomfortable. I enjoy making men uncomfortable. You know, it is important to be able to look into the eyes of a man and say, I am here, and recognize that. And recognize that I am working to bring something that makes you uncomfortable, and it should make you uncomfortable, because you need to change your attitude.
Kira, okay, obviously these people are communists at heart. They can't set their religion aside. I don't expect them to. But at some point in time, these corporations, as they watch the stock price go down and down and down and down, they surely have to address the elephant in the room, right? The elephant in the room is no one wants to hear this crap in movies, and it's the one thing they can't ever address.
And it's going to take a while. Some of these people are going to have to cycle out. It's beginning to happen. And I do believe that the strikes were a big part of that. I think there was some purging that happened with the strikes. I do believe that the studios are aware, but still the people in charge, the people that they've elevated to the positions of making these decisions, it's going to take a while to phase those people out. So yeah, they're going to have to lose more money. It's absolutely ridiculous to hear that woman sit there and say, well, I want to make a movie that makes men uncomfortable. Who's watching Star Wars? I love Star Wars, of course. And a lot of women love Star Wars, but Star Wars is for men. Superhero movies are for men. And Disney is a very feminized product. It's no wonder that they took over Star Wars and then immediately tried to feminize it. It's no wonder that they took over Marvel and then immediately tried to feminize it. And those aren't the consumers. This is the difference between the capitalist and the socialist. The capitalist understands human nature and works with human nature in order to turn a profit. Socialists believe that they can change human nature by sheer willpower. And the only thing that works against them is bankrupting them or just making sure that they don't exist at all.
Kira, why should I care about all this Harvard thing? I mean, yeah, I'm glad some commie nutball lady got kicked out as president, still making her salary. They're gonna replace her with another commie nutball of some kind. I'm sure this one will be some trans insane person who cares, but Harvard sucks. Claudine Gay was a nice start, but fire them all. Why should I care about any of this?
Well, first of all, I just want to reiterate, Jesse, that the next president of Harvard has to be a black woman, obviously.
Yes. Yes.
But second of all, yeah, actually, we should care about this because not necessarily because firing Claudine Gay or letting her go is going to be a huge difference in academia. But because this is a watershed moment, this is actually a historical marker. We conservatives should mark this moment. This is the nexus of influencer media and politics, right? That's why Claudine Gay got fired. She went up on the Hill, that's the politics part. And then she made the mistake of saying whatever she wanted and thinking that everyone was gonna agree with her. Then what happened? The media influencers took over. They started digging into what the things that she was saying. And then they uncovered all of these uncomfortable truths about her. That's how we're going to root out the rot in things like education and even in media. It's what the Democrats did in 2020, right? Didn't Time Magazine write a whole article about it? It was this collusion of lawmakers, media, and big tech. We need to do the same thing. So yeah, it's not going to change everything that Claudine Gay is gone. But right now, what this is a game of whack-a-mole. And conservatives need to get into this game. You whack enough moles, eventually what you're going to do is it's going to be inconvenient for them to nominate these people, to put these people in powers, in positions of power. Not because they don't believe these things, but they don't want the hassle. And I think that's how it's going to have to be. We're going to have to be the squeaky wheels. We're going to have to be the people that makes other people say, I don't even want the hassle.
Is the right ready for 2024, Kira, and all the chaos that's coming? I'm not sure the right is. I see a lot of pie in the sky thinking out there right now, and I'm not sure the right is quite ready for what the left is bringing in 2024.
I don't know that we're ever ready, because I don't think that we ever really know the depths of depravity that progressives will go to win election. I mean, that's one thing when I was running for school board, I was on this show a lot talking about it, and it's one thing that I learned in that experience. I could not believe how low the other side would go. And I just ran for school board. I wasn't running for president of the United States. So in a way, no, we're never going to be ready. And maybe that's a good thing in a way. We don't want to be the people who think like that. On the other hand, yeah, there's going to be some shocks, some surprises. But I don't want to discourage people about 2024, because the other thing is that this is politics, right? It's all cyclical. I know that we're right now in the middle of this heated battle over primaries, and conservatives are taking sides and they're being mean to each other and being ridiculous to each other. Guess what? It's the same every single primary season. It's never been any different. I turned 50 in July, Jesse. And in my 50 years, it's never been different. So some things, yes, are going to be really brutal about this election, but some things are going to be the same, because politics are ugly. At the end of the day, that is what conservatives have never really been able to absorb and digest. And I think it's been the success of the Trump era, actually. Trump came in, sort of took the curtains off the windows, and we all got to see how the sausage got made, and it's really ugly, and it's really nasty. So we need to be really strategic when it comes to winning elections. It's something that I've been talking about on the GOP circuit for the last year after my run. I think education is a huge, huge battlefield, and a winnable battlefield. And so we need to start being strategic about stuff like that. Are we prepared for the ugliness? I don't know if we ever are. Buckle up. That's all I can say.
Yeah, buckle up. Kira, thank you, ma'am. I appreciate it. All right. Did you know that it's National Trivia Day? Ready for some trivia questions? Make yourself smarter. We have Light in the Mood next. All right, it is time to lighten the mood. Did you know that today is National Trivia Day? I bet you didn't know that, did you? I know I personally didn't know that. Thanks, production team. I found out today, too. So let's do a little trivia for you. Are you ready? By the way, you should note this is a pretty high-end show, so we do our own sound effects. Question number one. Who's the most handsome man alive? I'll give you a brief second. Who's the most handsome man alive? Maybe you said George Clooney or somebody like that, but you would be wrong. That is the most handsome man alive right there. Here's another one for you. What is the secret ingredient, or I should say the special ingredient, to the world famous Jesse Kelly cheeseburger? What is it? I'll give you a second. What is it? Chipotle Tabasco sauce. You should already know that, but now you know. All right, here's another one.
is Jesse Kelly a Republican? I get this a lot. Jesse, aren't you a Republican? Jesse, as a Republican, I'm not a Republican. I used to be a Republican. I ran for Congress and won the Republican nomination twice as a Republican, but I'm not a Republican anymore. Republicans are useless. I'm an anti-communist. Anti-communism is the path forward. Now, finally, what's my favorite restaurant? What's the greatest restaurant in the world? Give me a second. Red Lobster. Everyone knows it's Red Lobster. All right? Go get you some Cheddar Bay biscuits, and I'll see you tomorrow.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.